Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Ngun spins his way inside and lays it in with a foul. Alperen Şengün holding off the defense from Giannis, spinning his way down the lane and laying it in with a chance at a three-point play, and that could be a game-sealing play.
Butts Talk starts now.
That will be that as the Rockets sneak out of here with a 122-115 come-from-behind win.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, a tough one today for the Bucks, who, you know, not only were very much in this game and had ample opportunity to win it, they dominated large portions of the game. And this is, when it's all said and done, I think the best team the Bucks will have played to date this season, and certainly one of the best teams in the Western Conference, maybe a team that pushes the Oklahoma City Thunder and or wins an NBA championship this season. The point being, it's a very good Houston Rockets team that you went up against. You held your own, but we had similar conversations a year ago. It's one thing to hang in these games and play that type of competition. Tough. At some point, you got to start winning these. And this one's a little different because this put you in a situation I don't know if the Bucks have really been in so far with this group and this specific team. And that's, you know, not only who's the second guy, but how do you close these games out with Giannis and the others against really elite-level competition? You knew how to do that when you had Giannis and Damian Lillard, Giannis and Chris Middleton, Giannis and Drew Holiday. You had that built-in muscle memory of and multiple games of doing that, but this is uncharted territory for this Bucks team. So there are going to be, I suppose, for lack of a better phrase, some of these growing pains and lumps and learnings to take. But I think Doc Rivers very candidly after the game just said, look, it wasn't good enough down the stretch. And that was the big takeaway here is we can see the theory behind this team and to get through your first 10 games. I know we mentioned we get there after the game against the Bulls. You've won 60% of them. You have a very strong case to be made of, hey, this is a team that could have started 8-2 when you look back to that loss to the Sacramento Kings and now this loss today. Sure, you could look at others and say they would have flipped, but the point is what you've seen from this team, they've been in every game they've played in save for one. And it wasn't entirely because of the schedule. That was largely a scheduling loss to the Toronto Raptors. So the growth that we see now in the next set of 10 games is the thing to keep an eye on for this team going forward. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us today on Bucks Talk. This was one that a lot of people had circled on their calendars, Bucks fans, I should say, because we got to see Giannis and Alperen Şengün renew that rivalry. And for a long time, it looked like this one was going to go the way of Giannis. But then a fella named Kevin Durant happened once again. A lot of positives in this, despite the fact that it was a seven-point loss in a game that you controlled for large portions and led by double digits. Those individual players that stood out the most, a lot of them reoccurring names. We'll get into who shined brightest in this one, even though it's a loss for the Bucks coming up after this. And, of course, plenty of time to hear your thoughts as well. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Can they start hitting some of those threes? They only had one in the third quarter. Here's Cole Anthony. He drives, and he pulls up and hits with a foul. Cole Anthony doing his Superman impression there. How did he hit that over Alperen Şengün, the big man?
Yeah, Cole Anthony with a tremendous first half in this game. You know, he was one of two or three guys in that first half that felt like they made the biggest impact for the Bucks. And that defensive strategy, too, to really pressure the Houston Rockets. I mentioned it on the pregame. Turnovers are the big thing with the Rockets. That's how you get to them. The injury to Fred VanVleet coming into the season left them without a true point guard, and they've kind of forged ahead saying we're just going to lean into our size, and that's how we're going to play here. And it's worked to their advantage with the offensive rebounding numbers coming into play today, an eye-popping 40% offensive rebounding rate, which is something the league has never seen. To get anything close, you would have to go all the way back to the 1991-92 season when the New Jersey Nets were at 39% for a rebounding rate. But they've leaned into their size. knowing we don't really have great initiators and facilitators outside of Alperen Şengün and Kevin Durant, so we're just going to be a big physical team. You knew there was an opportunity to get in transition against this team because guys like Şengün and Steven Adams, and to a lesser extent, you don't see them a lot, Clint Capela, they're not transition players at this point. So make them run, but turn them over for their lack of really significant ball handlers, and the Bucks really thrived at doing that in the first half. They were pressuring the ball. I thought it was a number of things that were causing those turnovers. Cole Anthony was a big part of that. We'll get into what it was specifically in just a second, but let's head to the phone lines first. 855-616-1620. The number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Greg and Waukesha, you're up first.
Hey, Justin, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
So here's my point, and I want to see what you think of this. You mentioned that 60%, you know, stat, and I think we all agree it should be, you know, a few more. You know, the biggest problem I have with the Bucks is that it seems to be a tale of two halves, you know, in like a lot of the games this season. And I guess the biggest problem I have is, okay, so you brought in Doc Rivers, you know, and veteran coach. And I was really happy, you know, when they brought in Doc Rivers. I thought this is a guy who's been coaching in the league for a while, who knows what he's doing, who knows how to work with, you know, a variety of players. But yet, Justin, we just can't seem to get it done, at least so far this year. Now, we're missing pieces. Yes, we're missing Middleton. We're missing, and all of our players haven't been completely healthy. But isn't, at what point is it on the coach to say, hey, Doc Rivers, you're a veteran coach. You need to do, you know, get more done. And I'll finally just end with this, Justin. I think you deserve a national show. I love your commentary. I think you deserve a daily national show. So, but I do want to get your comments on Doc Rivers. Thank you.
Well, Greg, thanks for the words. It must just be the city of Waukesha sticking together there. I get the opinion that a lot of Bucks fans and outsiders have on Doc Rivers. What I've said from the start is, for this team specifically, these are the types of groups that Doc Rivers has really gotten the most out of. You know, when you look at where the expectations are at, and I don't mean it to take away from the level of talent that's on this team, because I think if anything, if you were skeptical coming into the season, what we've learned or you've learned is, hey, there's probably more talent in this group than I initially anticipated. But Doc does his best with these types of teams. I don't really think, I'm not going to say there's nothing, but I don't think this is the season, 10 games in, to point to and say I have issues with X, Y, and Z that Doc Rivers is doing. If anything, I think it's the opposite in how they played, and they've radically changed their play style. Granted, when you don't have a Damian Lillard and a really veteran and more star-heavy team, it's going to lead to things like that. But how they've gone from being this older, slower, more methodical half-court style team, a team defensively that's going to lean into drop defense, not as much ball pressure, they've thrown all that out and played completely differently. And that takes, you know, a buy-in from the players. It takes the coaching staff recognizing, hey, this is the trend the league is headed in. This is how this can match up with the talent that we have on the roster and the play style that we have from these guys. I've been very pleased with a lot of things that Doc Rivers has done in this season to date, just, 10 games in now. So I remain very optimistic we're going to continue to see more and more of that as this group continues, I guess, to get more comfortable would be the way to put it, because there's a decent amount of change with this team, but when you factor in the play style on both ends of the floor, it's a lot more Right. I mean, I know you bring back Gary Trent Jr. I know you bring back Kevin Porter Jr., although we've only seen him 9 minutes. A.J. Green's back. Giannis is back. Kuzma's back for a full season. Bobby Portis, etc. But, you know, bringing in Miles Turner is a big change for how this team's going to play on both ends of the floor. And case in point today, the way you were able to defend Kevin Durant at times, where Miles Turner and Kyle Kuzma, or Miles Turner and Bobby Portis, Miles Turner and Giannis are both meeting him out there at midcourt. Those are things you couldn't do with a Brook Lopez. So I've been very, very pleased with Doc Rivers and the rest of his staff so far this season. Obviously, it's a long season, and we're only 10 out of 82 games into it. So certainly things can change. But, you know, this isn't one of those, hey, this was Doc Rivers' fault. And even after the game, you know, I think if there's one thing you can point to so far that has just not been good enough, as much as I said, there's a lot to like in this game. You lose it, that's disappointing. We don't want to get in the business of moral victories and, hey, at least they hung tough, kind of what we said in games like the loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers earlier in the season. But you hung with them, you know, like last year, these are the games, not against Houston specifically, because those two games were decided by 4 points total. But these were the games the Bucks would struggle mightily in when you were up against an equally or much more talented team. And one of the elite teams, the Bucks were not good in those games. You got to start winning them, but they're remaining competitive in these games. There is one thing, though, that needs to improve. I know we talked about rebounding. It's got to get better. I think we've seen it start to slowly get there. And some of the things that Doc has done to help the Bucks out in that regard. There is one thing that definitely has to improve in the short term and long term, and Doc talked about that after the game. We'll tell you what it is coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
Hands it to Rollins. Rollins with Thompson on him. Dribble drive, attacking with the right hand. Hands off. What a pass to Giannis through a crowd, and Giannis staples it down with a two-hand jam. This kid's got something special. That combination is working.
Yeah, that Ryan Rollins assist to Giannis for that dunk, that we've seen a lot of these plays from Rollins so far this season. I still have no idea how he got that ball through traffic to Giannis. But look, I think we've spent a decent amount of time talking about Ryan Rollins so far this season. We will continue to do so. He continues to exceed expectations, you know. I know there was a group of Bucks fans who were very high on him the last couple of years, granted in very limited action that you saw him in. But he was always an intriguing guy. And, you know, you go back to Sam Vecenie, who covers the draft and profiles collegiate and international and G League players for The Athletic. He had Ryan Rollins very high on his draft board in 2021, 22 when Rollins came out. Mentioning the ability to score at three levels. You can see it there with Rollins. You saw it at Toledo. His frame, too, the wingspan that I've referenced quite a bit, it's not quite 7 feet, but it's pretty close. You know, you saw a couple of times tonight where he was able to contest Kevin Durant, and granted, KD scored and shot over him, but KD does that to everyone. But I think on one of them, you could even see Kevin Durant thinking, like, wow, I didn't realize this guy was that long that he could get in there on me. And on Amen Thompson, where there was one play early in the game, he just engulfed Thompson. You could see Thompson also kind of recognizing, this is what I do to opponents. And now you got Ryan Rollins doing it to me. His continued growth this season, you know, it's not just for this season. Ryan Rollins may prove to be one of the more important finds for this era of Bucks basketball. I don't think you need to point out why, but finding something there at a position where you desperately needed it, and even the thought of, well, you got Damian Lillard out, you're going to have that much money tied into a player that's not going to play, what are you going to do, a point guard? And then you spin that into Miles Turner, and you're able to get this type of production. Ryan Rollins was very good today, and I don't really think you could look at a game so far this season and say it was a bad game for Ryan Rollins. Statistically, the worst, if we throw out the Raptors game for basically everyone, was opening night against the Wizards. Other than that, Ryan Rollins' bad games have been pretty good for the Bucks this season. It's really been bad in the sense of he didn't score 25 points. Again, he didn't have that stretch that he put up against the Knicks and the Golden State Warriors. So I thought Ryan Rollins was good again today, especially considering the challenges that he had on the defensive side, what you asked of him. 19 points, another game where he was a three-level scorer. And just keep an eye on these moments throughout the game where it feels like maybe you're starting to lose hold of the rope and the opponent is starting to go on a run here. Ryan Rollins has just had this knack for reading the room, right? Matching the moment and making those types of shots. He did it a couple of times tonight. You know, there's one where I can't remember who it was, but Houston knocked down a shot to make it a one-point game. Ryan Rollins answered on the other end with a three. Houston, again, made it a one-possession game, down to two. Ryan Rollins just picked his spots and showed that burst of acceleration that's been there all season long to kind of lull you into sleep and then get past you, get to the rim, and put it back to two possessions. So a good game once again for Ryan Rollins, and that has been the norm for the Bucks this season, which is certainly a very, very good thing. Another thing that's been in the norm that has not been a good thing is, you know, a game that you lose by 7 points. I know this is not the reason why, but these are the things you have to keep an eye on. I mentioned the hustle categories, the miscellaneous numbers, with the Bucks scoring 30 points off of turnovers, 10 second chance points, 21 fast break points to get to 61 in that area. They dominated the Rockets in those areas in the first half, the aggregate. Even though Houston was doing what they were doing on the offensive glass, because even with those reloads, the Rockets weren't scoring. That the Bucks were fighting and contesting those rebounds, and in turn, they were there in position defensively. That started to flip in the second half, where that margin went down to 10 at 61-51 advantage Bucks. But free throws is the elephant in the room here. And you heard Jim Ozarski after the game talk to Doc Rivers, ask him that question too. And, you know, in Doc's defense, I agree. What's Doc Rivers to do in those spots? How much of that lays at the feet of Doc Rivers to say your team missed 10 free throws? And Doc's response was, what do you want me to tell him to do? Hit free throws? But this is the biggest area that needs to improve. You know, we mentioned rebounding and what the Bucks have done differently since then. They've gotten better. Tonight is not the barometer for success. You know, you can't look at the Houston Rockets and say, can we hold our own? Nobody has against Houston so far this season. But the Bucks have done some things like saying, we got to find more minutes where we're playing bigs out there. And we've seen them stagger Giannis and Miles Turner more throughout the course of the game, too, where it's not just all bench lineups and it's Bobby Portis being asked to hold down the fort and rebounding and protecting the rim. We saw more minutes of Amir Coffey and Kyle Kuzma and a big on the floor, or Amir Coffey and Bobby Portis in a big. Three of those guys, that versatility, go from that to your smaller lineups as well. That's improved the rebounding. It's going to continue to get better. I do believe that. Today was tough because the Rockets are elite at that. But free throws have not gotten better all season long. And with this game in the books, right now, the Bucks are currently 25th in the league in free throw attempts per game. They're getting to the line about 22 times a game. The teams around them, the Golden State Warriors, which is really fascinating given how much they were boosted in that category when they acquired Jimmy Butler a season ago. But the Boston Celtics are last right now, a very perimeter-heavy, we're going to take a ton of threes type of team. Phoenix, similar story there. The Clippers, right? You're in that category of teams you don't really want to be around. 25th in free throw attempts per game, but even more troubling, 30th, dead last in free throw shooting. No one is close to the Bucks either. It's one thing to be last, but last by a wide margin. They are shooting under 70% on their free throws. 68.9%. And look, you expect the volume of attempts to be down, even on a team that still has Giannis, but you take away a piece in Damian Lillard, your volume of free throw attempts is going to go down. The efficiency cannot. And the big thing right now, and by the way, last year, you know, the Bucks weren't elites, but they were a 75% free throw shooting team a season ago. They got to the line much more frequently. They were fifth best in free throw attempts, 28th, which, you know, we often gloss over, still third worst in the league in free throw efficiency, but 75% versus 68% is a huge difference. And it's a couple of things, right? Obviously, the bulk of your free throw attempts are coming from Giannis, who was knocking them down early in this game. But really, after that lane violation, that's when the problems started to creep in. It's not to absolve Giannis of blame either, because you got to get to 70%. That's the number. And that's the most conflating part of all of this, is coming into the championship defense. Giannis was a 71% career free throw shooter. And the last couple of years, it's been in the 60s. But think about the other absences, right? Damian Lillard was a guaranteed free throw. He had the best free throw percentage in the league the last couple of years. He and Steph Curry would trade the title back and forth. Brooke Lopez was one of the better shooting free throw shooting big men in the league. And that's another thing. When you talk about the differences of Miles Turner and Brooke Lopez, Miles Turner 0 for 2 today. You've seen more of those misses from Miles. Chris Middleton was another guy, high efficiency free throw shooter. So one by one, those pieces have left. And it's primarily been Giannis. The free throw shooting, though, you're not going to maintain success if you're shooting sub 70% from the free throw line. So, again, I don't know what Doc Rivers can do, and he himself said that. You know, it's not on the coach. You want me to tell guys knock down free throws, but you got to knock down those free throws at a higher rate, especially knowing when you're in a close game, teams are going to foul Giannis and put him at the line. If you're going to continue to be a sub 70% free throw shooting team, that's not going to lead to a lot of long-term success. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited, talking text line. We will take a look ahead to that matchup with the Mavericks and this brutal stretch of scheduling that the Bucks are in the midst of right now. Coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Backing out to Portis. Now they work it near wing. Kuzma going to have to fire up a three, and he laces it from the left wing. Bucks getting a three-pointer late in the shot clock there, as Milwaukee's first three-pointer of the second half goes down.
Kyle Kuzma, you know, we talk about the perception of Doc Rivers. The perception of Kyle Kuzma, and this was something Doc Rivers touched on prior to the game as well in his media availability, and how pleased they are with what Kuz has done so far. Again, it's 10 games. But with the version of Kyle Kuzma you've gotten so far and said, I think he has certainly exceeded expectations externally. Like, this is what we saw in there. This is what we envisioned all along when that trade was made. This is what we thought he was capable of doing and expected to see from him this season. And that's exactly what he's doing. And, you know, does it change that trade to see Kyle Kuzma play like this? I certainly think yes. It's always going to be a complicated deal because of the fact that Chris Middleton was in that trade. And you know, as polarizing at times as Chris Middleton could be within his own fan base, I think the further removed we've been from it, the more that you've had other fans that might not have noticed or appreciated everything that Chris Middleton did coming around to that. And it's made it very difficult for Kyle Kuzma to step into that, being the guy that was traded for Chris Middleton. But it's not just seeing this and what John Horst in the front office envisioned unlocking with a guy like Kyle Kuzma out there to play the three and the four and play alongside Giannis. Be Giannis light, basically, running the fast break. The cap components to it as well. You know, they were a second apron team. They shed money with that deal. All of a sudden, Kyle Kuzma's contract doesn't look quite as bad this season, and it especially doesn't look bad when you factor in the production you're going to get from the deal that A.J. Green is currently on. Even when that goes up to a $10, $11 million annually deal, he's been a 50% three-point shooter so far this season. But Ryan Rollins making $4 million. KPJ and Gary Trent Jr. at a combined about $8.5 million. That's how you start to offset some of those things. So Kyle Kuzma, both ends of the floor. And I don't typically cite the plus-minus numbers because I think it can be a flawed model of evaluating how well a guy played during the course of a game. A lot goes into it. What you're asked to do in terms of defense, what offensive role that you've taken as well. But who's on the floor with you? That's going to determine a lot of your plus-minus numbers. Kyle Kuzma's plus-minus has matched the eye test for most of this season. And, you know, again, just looking at the efficiency numbers for Kuz so far this season, he has been an 83% free throw shooter, 31% on threes, which is still not great. But I mentioned it after the Bulls game on Friday. Like, the notion that Bubble Kuz was this knockdown three-point shooter was never the case. He was better. But he was still a low to mid-30s three-point shooter, even in that playoff run in the bubble. You'll take that because of everything else that he's given you, and especially because of defense, what he's given you. And just think about the individual matchups we've seen him take on so far this season. That coupled with Ryan Rollins and rim protection, Giannis and Miles Turner, that's how you start to push that defense forward with the way that other teams are playing in the league. Not just this season, the past few and going forward. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us today on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines. Kevin in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Yes, good evening. I would like to say, as I've said so many times before, the Bucks play to the level of their competition. You know, the other day they had a good game against the Indiana Pacers, and they ended up pulling out a win in that game. Then they played the Charlotte Hornets or someone, and they couldn't quite, you know, pull out a win in that particular game.
I'm going to stop you right there, Kevin. They did not play a good game against the Indiana Pacers, and I think they would be the first to tell you they played very poorly, and that's why it came down to a final shot by Giannis to beat an undermanned Pacers team. They have not played the Hornets yet. They went to Toronto to play a very good Toronto Raptors team, and they arrived at Toronto at 3 in the morning and played a game at 6 p.m. that night.
Okay. Well, you know, my main point is that I like to see a three big lineup with Jericho Sims, Miles Turner, and Giannis maybe playing the three or guarding the three or the four, vice versa. I think that would be helpful in rebounding for them, getting some additional rebounds in the game. And in addition to that, you know, getting some scoring opportunities for Jericho Sims, like he's been at the end of the bench all this season. And I think he, you know, needs some tutelage about the game of NBA ball.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. We've seen more big lineups. I don't think that's a lineup we're going to see. You're going to see Jericho Sims in place of either Giannis or Miles Turner. You need shooting. And, I mean, you're really pushing it when you have Kyle Kuzma, Giannis, and Bobby Portis on the floor. Kyle Kuzma, Giannis, and Miles Turner, because of Kuz being an inconsistent shooter. Giannis, I know, has gotten better this season, but Giannis is by no means a consistent three-point shooter. Jericho Sims is not a three-point shooter at all. And, you know, rebounding, if you're playing those three guys together, look, the Bucks are never going to be an offensive rebounding team. It's never been a thing that Doc Rivers has leaned into. We've seen more and more teams get into it, so I shouldn't say never. Maybe they will embrace it at some point. But Giannis is going to be on the perimeter. If you want him to take on a three assignment there, Giannis is away from the ball. Giannis doesn't want to do that. Giannis wants to be near the rim to protect the rim and get rebounds. And if he's playing a small forward position, he's not going to do that. So I don't think that's a lineup you can expect to see we've seen Jericho Sims in spots, and I think Jericho Sims is going to continue to come along slowly and develop under guys like Giannis and Miles Turner. There is certainly a role for him. Doc Rivers said as much when he was asked about him before the Knicks game. But a three-big lineup is not it. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us here in the final few minutes of Bucks Talk. Again, tough loss today at the hands of the Rockets, a game that the Bucks controlled for large portions, especially through the first half, and watched an 11-point lead slip away against one of the best teams in the Western Conference. It is the start of 5 games in 7 days for the Bucks, and the next one is tomorrow night in Dallas against the number one overall pick, Cooper Flagg, and the Dallas Mavericks. We'll take a look at that matchup and the rest of this gauntlet. 5 in 7 days, 7 in 11 days, all told. We'll take a look at the schedule and wrap things up next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, a tough one today for the Bucks. They hang tough with the Rockets. They do more than that. They let the game slip away at the end of the fourth quarter. The final few minutes here as Houston comes back to win it today behind a big game from Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün, despite another big game from Giannis. I mentioned a couple of times, this is a stretch the Bucks are in where they're going to play 5 games in 7 days. So from today through next Saturday. You had today against the Rockets. Tomorrow night you're in Dallas against the Mavs. Wednesday night you're in Charlotte against the Hornets. Friday night the Hornets come to Milwaukee. And then Saturday night, another back-to-back, the Lakers come to Milwaukee. If you go back to the game Friday against the Bulls, from that point through the Cavs game on Monday, November 17th, the Bucks are playing 7 games in 11 days. Then you get 2 days off. And then starting the 20th, you're playing 6 games in the final 10 days of the month to close things out. And this, of course, started where the Bucks played 3 games in the first 4 days of the month of November. So it's a brutal schedule in terms of the actual scheduling. Maybe not as much the teams that are on the schedule, although there's some good ones here that the Bucks are going to contend with. But the number of games in the number of days that the Bucks are playing here, that's the toughest part of November. Is they've got 15 games in this month here, and you know, you had the Rockets today, you had the Bulls, who at the time of that game were the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Toronto Raptors, a scheduling loss there, but that's a Raptors team that's been playing much better so far these past couple of days here. Lakers and what they've done to start the season, they're on your schedule. You get another road game with the Cavs. We'll get to see the Sixers, one of the better records in the Eastern Conference. Same for the Heat and what they've done with this rebranded offense. The Knicks, those are two cup games that week of Thanksgiving. And then Drew Holiday and what he's done with the Portland Trailblazers. So there's some difficult games. Oh, and by the way, the Pistons, who right now have the best record in the Eastern Conference. You get that in November. There's some difficult games in this month of November here. It's not quite the stretch of what we've seen in previous seasons. I think it was March of last year with a brutal schedule for the Bucks. But the games and the number of days that they're playing is the tough part here. This back-to-back. The back-to-back last week that was 2 road games. Another one at the end of this week that's 2 home games. Another one at the end of the month where you're in New York on Friday the 28th, then you're in Milwaukee against a New York team on Saturday the 29th. That's going to be the thing to keep an eye on, those schedule losses, because those are the important types of games for a team that's fighting and scratching like the Bucks are. And, you know, again, you leaned into youth, you leaned into athleticism and a younger team that wants to push the tempo. Can that get you through some of these periods in terms of the schedule that the Bucks have in front of them? Tomorrow night in Dallas, 7:30 tip in Dallas for the Bucks and the Mavericks. It's our first look at Cooper Flagg, the number one overall pick. And, again, one of yet another back-to-back in this calendar month of November. 7:30 tip time tomorrow. 7 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.